Woodbury Reports with your host, Lon Woodbury, talking with leading professionals about how parents and others can help their struggling teens, preteens, and young adults. Now here's your host, Lon Woodbury.
Welcome back to Lon Woodbury and the Woodbury Report. We have Jameson Monroe on the line. Jameson, good morning. Good to have you here.
Lon, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. I love what you're doing, and thank you so much for having me.
Well, I always learn something when I talk to you, so I hope that's going to be the same today. Incidentally, it's March 23rd, 2017, and Jameson is the founder of Newport Academy, with very prosperous programs going in California and Connecticut, and I have a suspicion you might have some other things on the drawing board. But we're going to talk about the adolescent brain on medication.
Meditation,
yes. I'm sorry, I wrote that wrong. I put in a C instead of a T. Yes, meditation. And so why don't you talk a little bit about what meditation is, and then sort of go into how does that impact the adolescent brain.
Okay, perfect. No small order there. Nice.
I know.
First
well,
question.
I could say try it in 25 words or less, but that might not be possible. But, you know, just short high points.
I would have needed some homework. Yeah, so I'll start off with the fact that, you know, when I was a teenager and a young adult, I suffered tremendously with depression and anxiety, which led me to self-medicate with substances and then to quell that depression and anxiety. But then I was introduced to depression in my early 20s as part of a recovery protocol and found great relief in it. Now, this was, you know, over a dozen years ago, you know, kind of before depression was as in the zeitgeist, before meditation was as in the zeitgeist as it kind of is today. It's kind of having a resurgence, I guess, from maybe the 60s. But it helped me tremendously. And then these days, nowadays, we've got no shortage and countless of studies, whether it's coming out of, you know, Harvard or Stanford or, you know, any other, you know, University of Montreal. You know, I'm just always reading new studies that are coming out that are showing the very, very positive effects of depression on mood, on depression, on anxiety, on attention, and things like that, even on kind of weight gain and exercise regimens, just overall kind of increasing a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of different ways of it. What meditation or style or technique of meditation are you looking at?
We actually, at Newport Academy, we're using multiple different types of meditation. We do a lot of mindfulness meditation, which originates kind of in Buddhist philosophy. But this is being kind of the observer, right? So we have a whole group called Minding Your Mind, which one of our psychiatrists, Dr. Michelle Minnison, leads. And the concept of that is that, you know, as humans, it's actually kind of impossible to turn off our brain naturally, right? I mean, they say we have about 50,000 thoughts per day, right? Some people may think they have more, and some are like, how could I ever have that many thoughts? But that's kind of the number, round number we're dealing with. And, you know, depression can be getting into a very negative thought loop, right? So I'm not good enough. I'm a bad person. I'm not pretty enough. No one likes me, right? All these kind of I'm not good enough thoughts, you know, are kind of what fuels depression, which can fuel kind of bad moods, which can fuel isolation, underachievement, all these kinds of things.
Yeah, negative feedback loops gets going.
Exactly. And so, you know, depression is more or less rooted in these negative feedback loops, you know, and it can be fears about the future, it can be regrets about the past, and what meditation is going to do is going to bring us in to the present moment. So we're not focusing on the past or the future, but we're focusing on the present moment.
That's before we get into the techniques, basically, as I understand it, and I think this is what you're talking about, it's calming the mind or slowing the mind down or getting it to focus on one thing instead of 50,000 different things. Is that the root of all meditations?
25 words or less. You got it, Lon. Yep.
Okay, so how do you get the mind calming down? And then the next question I'm going to have is, how does this have a positive impact in the kids? But we'll actually get into that. So how tell me a little bit more of the mindfulness you do or some of the other things.
All right, so typically with teenagers, it can be kind of very hard for, especially the kids that we're dealing with in treatment facilities, right? It can be hard for them to sit still and concentrate. So we do use a lot of guided imagery, and that way there is something to focus on. And so that may be, you know, visualization techniques, walking through, you know, visualizing certain things in their body, breathing exercise, visualizing the breath going in and the breath going out and focusing on that. And then when other thoughts come in, recognizing them, but then allowing them to pass. And so, you know, back to that minding the mind, you know, when a lot of times teenagers can be very reactive, right? You know, we look at teenagers as being maybe possibly over-emotional, over-reactive, and all that kind of stuff. And that's because a lot of times that time period between stimulus and reaction is so short and so emotional. We know teenagers don't really have fully developed prefrontal cortexes, right? So that can contribute to a lot of that. But also, they haven't had an opportunity to kind of be trained in that, you know, we do have a choice in how we react, right? There is that moment in time between stimulus and reaction. So we spend a lot of time, you know, meditating on that so that when those negative thoughts comes in, we can observe them, try and step back and be a third party and observe them and then let them pass and then decide how we react to certain situations. We can do that while we're sitting in meditation. And then, you know, during the course of treatment in Newport Academy, when we have these groups, we talk about things that come up during the week and outside of meditation and how maybe we were able to look at something, you know, try and analyze it, if you will, from a third party point of view, from a meditative mind, before we reacted, right? And it's a learning process, right? And so meditation is very much like going to the gym, right? You're not going to do it once, and then you're going to be fixed, for lack of a better word. But it's all about daily repetition, and we see in all the studies we see kind of that threshold of impact at really doing about 30 minutes a day is when we really see the very, very positive, consistent effects. Now, we could do less. Absolutely. Anything helps, just like exercising, right? You know, even 5 minutes of high-intensity exercise a day has very positive effects on the body. Same thing with meditation. You can't get in 30 minutes, 5 minutes a day is still going to be effective.
Okay, I'd like to ask a little bit about what some of the research is, because, you know, meditation, you mentioned, and the mindfulness and Buddhist meditation is sometimes associated with, say, Buddhism or some other religions. The Christian meditation, of course, too, has a long history. But what does the research talk, just the scientific research, keep the spiritual out of it, though, of course, you can't eliminate that. But the physiological impacts and results that you get from meditating.
Gotcha. So back to kind of like that adolescent brain, and what's happening there is that they're stuck in the emotional part of the brain, or someone who's depressed can't get into the more cognitive side of the brain, the CEO side of the brain. There's no way to get out of that loop. So what meditation does is it creates more communication between the different parts of the brain, and even as we see, opens up more synapses in the brain to allow that to happen in the most simplest form.
Okay. Do you use some of the things? Because the other idea is, I remember in the 50s, way back in the 50s, that meditation was sitting there contemplating your navel, sitting quiet, something that sounds very, very boring. Do you use some of the more walking meditation or movement or some things like that?
Absolutely, yes. And that's where meditation can take on many forms. And you mentioned religion and the non-religion too, but, you know, the whole concept of prayer and meditation, right? So mm-hmm. prayer would be talking to God. Meditation could be listening to God, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Or whatever you want to call your higher power, right? So, yeah, we know meditation has existed in many, many different spiritual practices. But now we're seeing it in non-spiritual practices. And, you know, we do, and that's the thing, once again, with bringing it back to teenagers and even adults too, is that sitting there contemplating your navel, like you said, sounds very boring. And so that's where guided imagery comes in. That's where walking meditation comes in. You know, even running can be very meditative because, you know, especially running up and down hills or trail running, you have to concentrate, right? You can't, because if you don't, you're going to fall down.
Absolutely.
Right? So any time of any period of you know, hyper-focused activity could be deemed meditation. With some of the a lot of the studies that we see though are done on a couple different types of meditation. One done out of I think at Harvard was done on a Kundalini yoga meditative practice. And Kundalini yoga is a lineage of yoga. It's been around for a long time. I'm actually personally a certified Kundalini yoga and meditation instructor because it was very, very effective in my own personal life in reducing my anxiety and depression. And that is holding a posture and reciting a mantra out loud, right? So that mantra meditation can be a very effective form of meditation to give you something to focus on. Verbally saying words over and over again. That's a very specific mantra that they studied, but other types of mantras have been studied, and you can say them out loud, you could say them quietly. In that vein, there's meditative practices like gratitude meditation, where you literally sit there, you know, close your eyes, and just focus on the things that you're grateful for. And as negative things may come in, you just take a breath and let them go and return back to focusing on the things that you're that you're grateful for.
You know, you mentioned the running meditation, and I think earlier this week I interviewed for the podcast isn't up yet, a psychotherapist in London who has written a book that's be available this year on mindfulness and running. He combined his habit of running with his practice as a psychotherapist and came up with these exercises. And I was really intriguing because I hadn't heard of running in that context. But yes, it is. It's a hyper-focus, and that's a large part of what it's all about.
Two times in 1 week. You must be on to something.
Well, it's sort of intriguing. My problem, I got very interested in meditation in my 20s, and it took me years and years and years before I could concentrate in something more than 10 seconds. and then I finally found a technique that worked, and so I've been doing that for some time. I have a biofeedback that tells me how I'm doing, which is a very, very good, very helpful for me.
Totally. And is that, you have that through, I mean, there's so many apps these days through our cell phones, even ones that, you know, have very simple devices we can hook up to our ear in order to monitor our you know, biological activity. But there's also apps that aren't that fancy that, you know, like Headspace and Calm and other types of apps that you just put on your headphones and push play. And you know, it's very easy to learn how to meditate that way. You've got a meditation instructor in your pocket 24/7.
Yeah, well, when I was a kid, smartphones weren't around. That was my lack. It took me several years to get to where I could finally get to even slow my mind down enough to where it could be called. But yeah, that's why the question on meditation and trying to think of adolescents who are normally naturally ADD anyway, and trying mm-hmm. to get them to slow down enough. And so that's where this walking and this more active meditations are helpful. Well, tell me a little bit more. We about ran out of time, but tell me a little bit more about Newport Academy and contact information on the program and how it works.
More than happy to do so. Thank you very much. So Newport Academy is a series of healing centers for adolescents and young adults that do suffer from mental health issues like anxiety and depression. And also a lot of them have started self-medicating, maybe with substances, with food, and other self-harming behaviors. We have residential facilities, inpatient facilities in both Connecticut in the Northeast and on the West Coast in California. We also have day treatment and outpatient facilities in Connecticut, Philadelphia, and California. And then we also have private high schools for kids that are in that don't fit into the mainstream, if you will, mostly because of things like anxiety and depression, and going to a regular school, if you will, is a little overwhelming. So we've got self-paced academic programs in Darien, Connecticut, and Newport Beach, California, as well.
Okay, and so contact information, phone number, website, email.
Absolutely. Yeah, newportacademy.com is where you can find us. And we do actually have a whole lot of information in our resources section, actually a lot of articles about not only meditation, but yoga and all that's involved in different mindfulness-based practices. And that's newportacademy.com/resources, homepage being newportacademy.com. A good phone number is 866-367-8336. That's 866-367-8336. Anybody can always reach me at jmonroe@newportacademy.com. That's just jmonroe at newportacademy.com.
Okay, well, very good. Well, thank you very much, Jameson. It's been a lightning, and sorry we ran out of time, because it's a pretty big subject, and we could have gone on for an hour. But thank you very much.
Absolutely, Lon. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
And you have a good day.